Let's pray. God, just as we were singing, Lord, we know that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and that you always are good. And God, our prayer today for Maywood on this special day and for every day at Maywood, that your will would be done here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we're getting ready to get started here, I want to talk first about our 21-day prayer emphasis that Chrissy was already mentioning. So if you were here back at Easter, you remember we felt like God was calling our whole church to be in a special time of prayer this year. And so we were doing these three-week prayer emphasis as we go. And a lot of times when people think about praying, they think about praying for someone outside of these walls that they know is suffering in some great way. Or a lot of times we think about praying for ourselves that we have some problem. And both of those are great things to pray about. But during this prayer emphasis, we're actually going to be praying for people that are right beside you right now, for each other here at church, that God would strengthen us, and so that God would give us power. And so instead of asking just God give me power or God help me, thinking about someone else here in this room and saying, God, flow into their life, give them power, help us to be the church you want us to be. And so there's three ways that you can say, yes, I want to be a part of that prayer emphasis for the next 3 weeks. Okay, so it's 21 days, it's not forever. But step number one you could take is just to say, for the next 21 days, every day, I'm going to pray for somebody at Maywood. It could be a different person, but just every day I'm going to take a little bit of time and pray that God would bless somebody else here. So that's step one. Step two, it's a little bit more of a challenge, is to pick up one of these sheets of paper or to go to our Facebook page each day. And that has just a short little paragraph that's like a prayer prompt. It just kind of guides you in a different way to pray that day. And so when you do those, you get to pray the same way lots of other people at Maywood are praying that day. So that's step two. Step three is for the kind of the heavy lifters out there that want maybe a little more of a challenge. But I think it could really change maybe your whole outlook in general. And so step three is to read the book of Ephesians each day as we pray. And you might think, well, that's strange. Why would I read an entire book of the Bible every day for 21 days? That's weird to read the same thing over and over. Well, it's only about six chapters long, about six pages long or so. It would take an average reader about 20 minutes or so to read. And the reason we want you to do that every day is because it plants that word of God in your heart in a different way. If you've never tried it before, just try it for 3 weeks, and if you hate it, you can be like, Jake, you're crazy. I'm never doing that again. But I've done this before with the book of Ephesians. I read it every day for a month, one year, and it really changed my perspective about a lot of things, because Ephesians is talking about how should we as a church treat each other, and what should we as a church be about. And so I think right now, it's as we're praying for each other, Ephesians can really guide us in how to do that. So if you're up for that challenge, I encourage you to do any of those challenges you're up for. So here's our little picture for 21 days of prayer, this idea of lifting each other up towards God. So, Bob, will you talk to us about today specifically what we're doing, though?
We are violating preaching laws. Preaching laws are you to have one topic and cover it. We have three, but we're going to do it really quick, different from the early service, okay? So I can't say enough to you about trying. I hope you read, everybody here reads the book of Ephesians like Jake outlined it. That will be a gift to you and to others. Today we are making a shift, and I am no longer going to be your lead pastor. If we can do this between now and 12 o'clock, at 12:01, Jake will be lead pastor. I will not be, okay? Amen. So the question is, how in the world did we ever get here to do this? Well, I can tell you a long story. We tried that in the early service. Buy me coffee and I'll tell you, or Jake will tell you, or Wayne will tell you. But the bottom line is God, okay? God called Wayne to come to Maywood. God called me to come to Maywood. God called Jake to come to Maywood. And he brought our respective wives along. And we are positioned as a group of people to make a difference. I want you all to know we are not, put that in big capital letters, bold print and underlined about three times, we are not pastor-centered. We are you all centered. But more than that, we are centered on the people that you can reach that live beyond the four walls of this church. Well, if we say anything today, don't miss that, okay? We'll get into that further. What's going to take place? Nothing. Quite frankly, Jake is going to become senior pastor. He has been serving as the senior pastor for over a year. All the behind-scenes work, all the staff meetings, all the different meetings have taken place. He's already been doing it. So I've been doing my job. Wayne's been doing his. Jake's been doing his. Nothing's going to change. Somebody asked me, what are you going to do in retirement? I have had so much fun with retirement. People say, how do you like retirement? Well, I've had a really busy week this week. It's great. You know, I had a guy, I was actually in the Oakland airport, and a guy, Hap Graff, who's the head of the Chamber of Commerce, happened to be out there visiting his kids. He came up and said, I hear you're retired. Yeah, I am. How is it? Oh, it's great. Jake does what I don't want to do, and I do what I want to do. That is not true. However, what's going to take place? Nothing. Tomorrow will be the same as last Monday, all right? So what's the coaching staff going to look like? Really quick, that's Jake Taylor right there, head coach. There you are. I wanted to get Melissa to Photoshop Jake's head there. I got outvoted. I'm the line coach. Wayne is the offensive coordinator. Why do we talk about being coaches? Because that is the way it's supposed to be. And so if you're doing your job, good for you. If you're not doing your job, shame on you. Get off the bench and get in the game. All right, fair enough? All right, here we go. So here was an 80th. I've been here for the 80th, 85th, 90th, 95th, 100th, and I'm headed for the 110th anniversary of this church.
Hey,
okay?
Bob, this is a really good story. I think you should slow down on this part of the story.
I will be.
Yeah, sorry. I just want people to, this is good. This is good stuff.
Yes, sir, boss. All right. I was Jake's age when I was here for the 80th anniversary. All right, I was. And I was scared to death. Maywood Baptist went through some rough years because of the transition in the community. I want to say, you all can join me in applauding long-term members of Maywood. Amen. Amen. There are people in our church who are quite a bit older than me, some of them my age, and a couple of years younger than me, who said, we are going to minister to this community even though it doesn't look like it looked in the 70s. In the 70s, and I came here in 84, in those years, the question was, are we going to make it? All right? And so my message on the 80th anniversary was, is Maywood's best in the past, or was Maywood's best in the future? And I was scared to death. When you sang the song about fear this morning, I thought, boy, I can relate to that because I was scared to death. Is our best in the past or the future? And I was bold enough to say our best is in the future. And the people you just stood and applauded, they're the reason why we have a future. And it gets me choked up. But it's for real, all right? So I ask you today, is our best in the past or is our best in the future? I'm going to tell you our best is in the future. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. And I want you all to know, I was scared back then. I'm not scared now. I believe it. All right. Why do I believe it? Are you ready for some pictures? I like this one. This is one reason. If I can get this to work, right there. There you go. I know something about preachers, and I will tell you, God has sent us a fabulous preacher right here, Jake Taylor. Amen. He's also sent a wonderful pastor's wife to join with him and to serve alongside of him. Just keep on applauding. The other reason is because you are here. You people in the pew. I cannot say this enough. This is not about Maywood Baptist Church being some neat little church that you can come to on Sunday morning and have a lot of fun. This is about you. God has brought you out of darkness into the light because there are people just like you that only you can reach. All right? I guarantee you, when I go and I talk to one of your friends, they think I'm a probation officer.
It's really happened.
That
yeah.
is the truth. When you go, they think you're one of them. I see you, Gary. when you go, they think you're one of them. And I've loved the definition of evangelism. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where the bread is. And you have that commission. Our job is to coach you. We're going to play alongside of you. We've got things to do, but you're the ones to do it. So why do we have a good future? Because this guy and his wife are in the church, and because you're in the church. All right? That's it. So let's talk about Ephesians, Jake.
Yeah, so we already kind of mentioned Ephesians before, but I think this is where a lot of this is coming from, what we're talking about today. We didn't just come up with a great idea, get a bunch of scientists together or something. We went and looked in God's Word, said, how does God want us to be as a church? And so that's where this is all coming out of. That's why we want you guys to read Ephesians for yourself. Today we're going to hit just a couple little highlights. We're going to hit some verses that are about every person that says, I want to follow Jesus. And then we're going to hit some verses that say, here's what church leaders are supposed to be about. So, Bob, talk to us about those first verses.
So these first verses are one of the cornerstone themes of our church. We have one of them at the end of Matthew, which is to go into all the world and make disciples of everybody, okay? That is one of God's cornerstone themes for us and for his church. This is another one. So let me read it to you, all right? It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. When you read Ephesians, you're going to see that word grace pop up on every page over and over again. Grace is God's gift to you. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. He gave it to us. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives, and he gave gifts to his people. He took many captives. Let me bring my little tiger in here. This is a miserable tiger. I don't know what zoo that is, but they ought to be fined for what they're doing to that little tiger. Some of us don't know we're a tiger. Many of us know we're already chained. There's a chain around our neck, and we're living in misery, and we're living in pain, and we try to get free, and we just keep getting jerked back by the neck and get slammed down. We know what it's like. If you are here today and that identifies you, no matter what else happens today in this service, you make sure you get free today. All right? Will you hear that? I can't spend a long time on it, but I'm going to spend a second on it. If you right now are in chains, get free. All right? Here's what Jesus does. Jesus takes all of those broken tigers that don't know they're tigers. He lets them loose. He puts his spirit. I understand you had a good Sunday school class, and Diane talked about getting the spirit in your life. He puts his spirit inside of you, and then he leads you in a beautiful parade, okay? And you get to walk with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords totally free. Is that not a bad fine, huh? Amen? So, today, get free. Number two, if you are free, the last thing in the world you want to do is say, hey, man, I surely had a great time with the Lord, but I'm going back to my chains. If you go back to your chains, shame on you, okay? And God bless you to not do that, all right? Fair enough. Number three, Jesus sets you out free from those chains because there are right now, within a three-mile radius of this place, 48,000 people who don't go to anybody's church at all. They don't know the Lord. They don't know what he has to offer them. They don't know what you've experienced. And God has appointed you. He has called you. When you read Ephesians, you'll hear that word, chosen, chosen, chosen. He has chosen you. He has appointed you, not so you could come and sit in the church and be entertained. He has chosen you so you could get in that wonderful parade of people who have been set free and help others get set free too. Okay? We have long sermons on these, but you're getting a short one today. Jake?
So I told you there'd be two passages. The first one, Jesus wants to set you free. If you're like, I don't know how to get free, then just grab a hold of somebody who looks like they know what they're doing here or looks like they've been here before and say, how do I get free? You know, somebody will show you the way there, okay? Next passage here is about leaders, and it says, so Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. These are all the categories of leaders at the church. He says, God gave all these leaders to church. And then he gives us a job description in this next verse. What are they supposed to do? And if we polled all of America today and asked them a question about what are church leaders supposed to do, what do pastors do, you'd hear things like, well, they visit people in the hospital, they preach, they do weddings, they do funerals. I don't really know what else they do. It's probably, you know, be the fifth answer there. That's what people normally think of when they think of pastors. But we're going to look at the job description that God puts for these church leaders. Jesus wants us to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So here Paul says to this church in Ephesus, he says, here's what's the role of a leader. Here's what they're supposed to do. Just one goal for them is to equip people for works of service. This idea that the whole body has gifts from God. We just talked about that. Jesus has given you gifts. As soon as you follow him, he's starting to give you good things. And so our role as coaches, Bob and I and Wayne, our role is to help you find those gifts, help you develop those gifts, help you use them together as a team. And so we came up with this title, Coach, and some people don't like it. I have some conversations with people that are, why don't we call you pastors? We like pastors better. And pastor is a great image, too. It's an image of a shepherd with his flock. But I was at a house dedication with Chris, one of our church members. Him and his wife, Lori, were blessed with a house from Habitat for Humanity. And Chris introduced me. He's like, this is Coach Jake from my church. And tell him what it means to be a coach, because he was so excited about it. So I got to tell all these different people about Maywood, and they heard the same little spiel you have to hear every week before the offering about God making us into a team. But I think for all the people I got to talk to, they got to catch a little bit of our vision. Every time we say coach, we're saying we believe Ephesians 4. We believe that God's called us to be a team. We believe that the role of these coaches is to help us be a team together with Jesus. Now, the awesome thing about Ephesians is it doesn't just give us, here's what you have to do. It also tells us where we're going if we're obedient. So if we're obedient to Ephesians 4, this is what it starts to tell us in verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. One of our roles as coaches is to help unify you all. The Bible talks about us being a body of Christ. If you think about a body, you know, the nose and the feet probably wouldn't get along naturally very well, you know, and sometimes as coaches we help people get along, but we help unify where we're going. But then it says we'll become mature, a mature church. What does that look like? A mature church attains to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If you read the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about the fullness of Christ a couple different times. But just let me tell you this today. When you hear about problems in Independence, when you hear about problems in your neighborhood or even in your own household, you might be thinking, we need a miracle to get this person off of drugs or to solve this injustice or to cut through this bureaucracy. To really change somebody, we need a miracle. Well, Jesus is the miracle that people need. Jesus is the need that people have. But how do they get Jesus? Ephesians says they get Jesus when we start using our gifts that God gives us together, as a body together, not off as a lone ranger, but all together. So God's gifted Katie in different ways than he's gifted Marcus, in different ways than he's gifted Scott, in different ways than he's gifted Bob or Melissa. God has different gifts for all of us, and it's only when we're together that we start to be Jesus' hands and feet, his whole body, here in Independence. A last thought for me before I hand things back over to Bob. This weekend, I talked to a Christian guy. He's a nice guy. He said something I'd heard before, but it made me sad when I heard it. He talked about some arguments he gets into with atheists, with people that don't believe in God. And he said, well, this is what I always tell them. I tell them that, you know, I believe in God, so I'm trying to follow God. He's like, and if I'm wrong at the end of my life and there's nothing, then I don't lose anything. And he says, but if you don't believe in God and you live your life for yourself and I'm right at the end of your life, you've lost out on everything, on eternity with God. And I heard that, and it makes logical sense. You know, it's logical argument, I guess, but it felt like to me like he's hedging his bets. You know, he's hedging his bets on his whole life of like, I'm going to make sure things work out for me. But he left out the center, just like that song we talked about, Jesus be the center. He left out the center of Christianity. Why do we follow Jesus? It's not in case there's a heaven or in case there's a hell. If you've been walking with Jesus for very long, you start to fall in love with Jesus. Jesus is, I've never met anyone as loyal as Jesus. I've never met anyone that's as gracious with me when I've messed up as Jesus, and yet isn't satisfied to leave me where I'm at and say, well, you're a good person, Jake. Always is pushing me further. I've never met anyone that sees so much potential in me, potential I don't even see, and pushes me to have the courage to get there. I've never met anyone so simultaneously hard on me and yet so gracious with me and loving me and supporting me, there for me when I need them. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you're in love with Jesus. The more we start to use our gifts, the more people in Independence start to see Jesus. They start to see Jesus. When you meet Jesus, you can't help but love Jesus. That's what we're about here. Jesus is the center of what we're doing.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Happens to be true. He is absolutely the center. So I'm going to ask Chrissy if you'll come over here, and Linda if you'll come over here, and Tony if you'll head that way, and Jake if you'll, there you go, you're already doing it. And then Wayne's going to get over here in just a second. There is a real dynamic when you become a lead pastor, and that is that there is a spiritual authority that God gives you. And we want to participate in that by praying for Jake and for praying for Chrissy. And I notice, Jake, you have one of your friends from Springfield here. Yes, why don't you come on up with us, please, sir? And thank you for being here. And he was very, very helpful to Jake when he was in Springfield. And we thank you for the ministry that you gave to us. But you have to go to the guy's side. I know the ladies look better, but sorry. All right. So, first of all, we've got to say publicly that the women over here on this side, they're the better part of the ministry. And you all can, yes, you can applaud them. We are really trying to cram a whole lot into a short amount of time. We could say a lot about our wives. And they do enormous things in ministry that they never get credit for, that is never observed. A lot of times they get the complaints. Sometimes, as Tony will say, you get mad at church and you don't take it out on anybody, but you come home. And I am guilty of that. I'm sure Jake's not, but I've been guilty of that. And I know Wayne has never done that. So at any rate, thank you, ladies. What we're going to do is this. I'm going to explain to you some things. They're going to pray over Chrissy. Tony and Linda are going to do that. And then Wayne? Is this too? Okay. All right. Wayne and I will pray, but we're going to ask you to stand with us, okay? Is that fair? And then we're going to ask you to come. Guys, come over here and surround Jake. Ladies, come and surround Chrissy. And we're going to ask you that we Baptists are very polite. We just one praise and then another praise and another praise. I'm going to ask you not to be polite. I'm going to ask you to be like children on the playground. I'm going to ask you all to pray all at the same time over each other. That way everybody gets to pray. It's going to sound a little confusing. That's okay. God can sort it out. It's amazing. All right? So ladies, you all come over here. Guys, you come over here. And then you're going to know when it's over with because I'm going to turn to Lisa and she's going to start playing music. All right? Thank you. And so you'll know that's the service. We're going to try to get you out here to beat the Methodist to lunch, all right? So don't come yet, guys. Stay in your spot. Sorry, you get to come in a minute. Tony and Linda, why don't you pray? And then we'll pray, and then you guys that already started from the back row, it's your turn.
Thank you, God, for your love and mercy. Help us to show it to others this week. Lord, I lift Chrissy to you now. Thank you for the joy and the privilege of knowing Jake and Chrissy. Bless their marriage in all ways, Father. I ask for Chrissy to grow and become all that you desire her to be. Give her the desire to become all that you have designed her to be. Give her the gift of discernment to know when you are leading her. Give her a great love for the people of Maywood and the people of Maywood a love for her. Give Chrissy, please guide Chrissy to be a doer of your word, Father, and not a hearer only, as many people come to your word, hear it, and then they don't do anything about it. Help her to be a doer of your word. Help her to run the race with patience and to keep her eyes fixed on you. Open her eyes that she may see you, Father, especially in the difficult times. God, you're good, and I'm asking you to fill Chrissy with all knowledge of your will and that she may live a life worthy of you and please you in every way. I pray she'll bear much fruit for you and grow in her knowledge of you. I ask you to strengthen her with your power, Lord. I ask you to give her great patience, give her love and gentleness always. Thank you for this remarkable young woman. We place her in your hands today. And we ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Lord, we thank you and we praise you right now as we enter into your throne room. And what a privilege it is, Lord. You are so good and so merciful and so kind. And what a privilege it is for me, Lord, to introduce you to the new pastor's wife of Maywood Baptist Church. I know you've had this planned for since the beginning of time. And you just allow us, Lord, to be part of your plan. And I thank you. I thank you for what a privilege it is to see this young couple take over, Lord. And I look forward to the future. I'm excited. I know the first service I said goodbye to the past, and it's been a wonderful past. And now I look forward to the future, Lord, and with excitement and anticipation of what you have planned for Chrissy and Jake. And Lord, I ask a special blessing upon Chrissy, Lord. I pray that you will put a hedge of protection around her, Lord, that you will watch over her and Jake and their family, Lord, that you will speak to them directly, Lord, and guide their paths, Lord, that you will bring wisdom during all times, and Lord, through difficult times, Lord, that they will lean upon you and know that your will is being done during this time, that suffering strengthens us, and that you lift them up, and Lord, that they will see all your promises come true. As Chrissy said earlier, Lord, we've seen so many miracles, and we praise you for each one. And Lord, 30 years ago, I would not believe the transition that our church has had and the wonderful new lives that you have brought here, Lord, that you've brought broken pieces and you've made them whole. And that is your miracle. And I pray for more, Lord. You say to come to the throne room boldly. And so I pray, Lord, for a future where Eastern Independence will be drawn to you, Lord, and that our love and Chrissy and Jake's leadership will continue to draw you. And I pray for Bob and me, Lord, as we enter a second stage, Lord. We continue to praise you and we look at it in excitement at what's ahead of us. I pray for our children, Lord. I pray for the children here. There's so much pain and hurt, and I pray for miracles in their lives, Lord. And I pray that our church will be a healing church. Bless Chrissy and just help her to grow in you. We love her, and I am privileged to introduce Maywood Baptist Church to the new pastor's wife, Chrissy Taylor. Amen.
Lord, I pray this morning for Jake as this mantle of leadership and responsibility is shifted from Bob to him. It's a mantle of responsibility that you have called him to and that we as a church acknowledge and affirm. And I pray that your spirit will just fill him and give him a full measure of all that he needs in fulfilling this role. And that as we, your church, fulfill the mission that you've given us, that your hand will be upon him as he is your human instrument to give leadership to that mission. And I pray that, He will be so filled with your Spirit that as we see him in fulfilling this, we see not only the person, but also the evidence of your hand upon him. And I pray that we might be always thankful to you and give praise for the provision that you've made of his leadership. I pray this morning not only for what he will need in performing these responsibilities, but also for your power to withstand the forces that will threaten to tear him down and to weaken him and to disqualify him. Forces that are not of flesh and blood, though sometimes masquerading as flesh and blood. I pray in Jesus' name that these forces be defeated as Christ has already defeated Satan and death. And I pray all this now in his name. Amen.
Lord, I thank you so much that you, as we've read in Ephesians, from the foundation of the earth, you chose Jake and you chose Chrissy. Lord, you chose us all. And you chose us to live our lives holy and blameless before you. And Lord, you filled us up with your love that we might know your fullness. And so I ask you for Jake as he takes the leadership of Maywood Baptist Church, Lord, that you do just that you fill him with your presence, your Holy Spirit. Lord, we can ask for no greater gift than that, and so do that. And Lord, as you do that, we know you're going to fill him with love. We've already seen that, and wisdom. We again have seen that, and insight. Lord, we thank you for those things. Bless him, bless Chrissy, bless this church. And Lord, help us to reach the places you want us to go. We give you thanks, pray in Jesus' name, amen.